like to add my welcome to that which hopefully have already been given by a number of people. And we do count it a privilege to travel together with you. And particularly this morning, it's our privilege now to come to a time to let God's Word speak to us. So towards that end, let's jump into our Bibles. We're in the book of Matthew. We're traveling through the Bible in the book of Matthew right now. We arrived at chapter 13. Turn to Matthew 13 with me, if you would. Now, to help you study, we want to make sure you have a Bible. Just raise your hand, and the usher will pass the Bible over to you. For all of us, let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Every single day, we deal with various conditions. You get up in the morning and you check the news, perhaps, to see what the traffic conditions are to head into work. Or perhaps the night before, you look and see what the weather conditions will be, so you know how to dress and dress the kids and all for the next day. For some of you, perhaps as you head off to work, you wonder what conditions you'll find on the job site, in your office, at school. We deal with conditions a lot. What's the climate? What's the conditions of my circumstances? I deal with conditions a lot too. In ministry, I get to deal with heart conditions. As I meet with people, travel with people, marriage counseling, visit hospital situations, various conditions. And it zeroes in on, namely, it always comes down to the heart condition. Jesus deals with conditions. In particular, a particular condition we're going to look at this morning. Let's look at Matthew 13, jump into verse 1, where it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered to him. So they got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. It's not hard to picture the scene. Whether you've been to the Sea of Galilee or not, whether you've seen pictures or not, we understand the setting. Jesus finds himself sitting on the Sea of Galilee on the shore there, but a great multitude gather around him, so much so that to be heard, he gets in a boat and they push off a little ways from the shore. He sits down and the people all stand to listen. Let's try that this morning. No, we won't do that. Think you stand for next half an hour or so, 45 minutes? Anyway, but that's what they would do. But he did this forming a sort of natural amphitheater. They could hear better, see him better. You can picture it. As you picture it, though, I suspect you picture it from the shore side. You can see Jesus out there on the boat. You can picture him sitting there speaking. Picture from his view. Matter of fact, I almost called a time the other morning, the view from the boat. Because what does he see? He's sitting in the boat looking back at all the people. And actually, he's going to embark upon a time of sharing a whole lot in these coming verses. For you see, there's much on his heart. And what's on his heart as he looks at all the people is he looks at their heart. Namely, the condition of their heart. It's always about the heart. The heart is the will, the center of who we really are. And that's what always gets his attention, not the outer. But he looks around at everybody, looks at how they've been receiving him, looks at their reactions, and he speaks to it. Verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. That's him, by the way. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The view from the boat. Four kinds of soil he's going to talk about this morning. Oh, dreaded familiarity. For that is an enemy right now. Because many of you who were raised in the church, you've been around a while, you studied it, you see this, you go, oh man, the seed and the sower again. Some of you can get up and probably teach this better than me. You've heard it, but there's a danger in that. Because the Lord has a great, great concern about what His Word finds when it lands on us. The word parable comes from the Greek word parabolo. Para is a word that means alongside, and balo means to cast or to throw. Therefore, it means to cast alongside. A parable is one in which a truth is cast alongside a story, if you will, an illustration, for the purpose that the story would make the truth come alive. We would understand it. We'd grasp the truth through the use of the story. That's a parable. This one is commonly called the parable of the sower, or sometimes called the sower and the seed. Keep in mind, though, every single person here this morning is in that parable. Therefore, don't let it be the same old. But this morning, let the Lord really search our hearts. What condition does He find our hearts in? See, I'm sowing seed right now. As I speak God's Word, it's throwing God's seed out there, His Word out there. We're going to see that more in a moment. But the question becomes, what kind of ground are we? How receptive are we to this? How hungry are we for it? It's an important challenge. I've called our time together this morning, the sower, the seed, and the heart. Let's pray. Father, because You love us, You continually demonstrate such concern, such care. Sent Your Son to die for us. You reach out to us. Lord, that's not the issue. Your love is sure. The issue is, what do you find when you come to us? What impact will Your Word really have upon us? What do our lives reveal about the place that Your Word, the seed of Your Word, is found in us? Lord, work in us this morning. Soften these hearts. As Jesus said, He who has ears to hear, let us hear. Lord, give us ears, hearts to hear this morning, we ask. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, notice the context. Remember, we've been studying right along here in the book of Matthew is about the King who has come. The King. And He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. That's been the context. He's talked about it. He is the King. And He's saying, the kingdom has come amongst you. And He wants the kingdom to come within you through receiving Christ. And so it spoke about, we saw the person of the King. We saw the principles of the King, the Sermon on the Mount. We saw the power and the working of the King. But an interesting thing has been happening, of course. In chapter 12, just last week, if we looked at it, we saw something. Not all ground was receptive. Not everyone was receiving. Indeed, the religious leaders in particular, they were very hostile. In chapter 12, verse 14, we read this. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might destroy Him. So opposition has arisen, and it will continue until they have Him on the cross. There's great hostility now He's experiencing. But His concern is for them. And so this makes it a really good time to talk about hearts. Remember, in the original writings, there wasn't chapter and verse. This is all one account. We put in chapter and verse later to help us find it and memorize it and all. But the story continues, and what does verse 1 say? On the same day. So it's the same. He's been experiencing their rejection. He's been talking to them about warning them of things and all. Finally, He gets up. He leaves the house he was in, goes sits by the lake. But all the people gather around. So He gets in a boat and He pushes away from there. And He begins to share about four types of earth, ground, soil. But remember, through all of this, it's not Jesus who's being examined. They were. The people were. True then, true today. What kind of ground does His Word fall upon when it falls upon us? Let's look at these verses. After verse 9, there's a brief section in which He speaks to them why He's speaking about parables. We won't be looking at that this morning. But now we go down to verse 18. For in verse 18, He begins to explain what He's saying when He teaches about this sower of seeds and the conditions defined. Have you ever heard a great Bible teacher? You're about to hear the best Bible teacher there has ever been. You will never find a Bible teacher like the one you're about to hear. Now, don't look at me like you think I'm talking about me, as if I need to say that. No, Jesus is about to explain what he means. Let's hear him. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, see, these are parables about the kingdom. It's his word. And does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Based on what Jesus has now said, his explanation of it, how does all this apply to us? Let's go through it step by step. What is the seed? The sower is he himself, God incarnate. He's come into the world and he's casting the good news out there. It's the news of the kingdom. What is the seed? Well, it is just that. It's the word of the kingdom. It's God's word. It's the message God had for them and for us. Now, why is the word like a seed? Because God's word contains life. A seed contains life. It may not look like that when you're holding it in your hand. There's some seeds there. But you know, take that seed, drop it in the earth, cover it over, give it some water and all, begins to germinate. And the life that is in it begins to bud forth. God's word, you look at it like this, far more than ink on a page. It is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, the Bible tells us. So we have the sower here and we have the seed he's sowing, namely his word. But that's not the problem, is not in the sower, and the problem is not in the seed in this case, is it? The problem, the issue here is the kind of ground that it falls on. That's his focus. What kind of ground is his word about to fall on us? Truth be told, are you thinking a whole lot more about the game that's going to be played in a little while this afternoon? Are we excited about the Super Bowl? Nothing wrong with being excited about watching a football game and cheering for your team. There's other things that can distract us. Other things we'd be thinking about. See, that becomes the question. What place does his word have when it falls upon us? What kind of hearers are we going to be now and always? And so he talks about four conditions of ground. And what do the four types of soil represent? They represent the conditions of people's hearts that hear the word. The conditions he was finding in them as he walked and shared. See, it's a chapter mainly all about hearts. Now, these verses, first of all, can directly be used to speak about salvation. The first three being hearts that don't ultimately receive. The last one, the good soil, receives Christ as Savior. Definite application there. And if that's where you're at this morning, if you haven't received the Lord, look for yourself in those first three soils we're going to look at in just a moment. But it would be to miss out to just leave it as just salvation verses. For as we're going to see, these verses challenge all of our hearts as to how fruitful they are or not, and why they may not be. The third application really is, we don't tend to stay sometimes as good soil. We tend sometimes to drift into being other kinds of soil sometimes. So it's a warning and an encouragement. Let's consider each. And let's see what each one of us might relate to here in terms of the various conditions. Verse 19. In verse 19, we meet the hard heart. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. We understand that the illustration, the parable, in those days, they didn't have machinery and all that would put the seed in the ground. Rather, they'd go out with their baskets and bags or whatever of seed, and they'd go out over their fields, and they would begin to cast the seed out. Well, naturally, some of that seed, if they're going to try to get their whole field covered, some of the seed's going to land in places that are pathways, footpath, cart path, places where the ground has been trampled so much, so long, it's hardened. It's a pathway. It's a roadside. And the seed lands on it, but it's just too hard. The seed cannot penetrate. It says here that this first soil is the one who hears the word, it says, but does not understand it. The word translated understand there is a word in the Greek that means to put something together. It's translated sometimes to consider. The Amplified Bible says these are people who, they don't grasp it. They don't comprehend it. We might say they just don't get it. Why? Because the soil has been hardened. They are hard of heart. And the word just can't penetrate. Have you let life made you hard of heart? Have you been trampled, stepped upon, whatever, till you sit here and God's word just kind of bounces off? You're hard of heart. It just lies there, it says. And it doesn't lie there long. For the enemy is very willing to come along and real quick scoop that up. How? By distracting you. Getting you to not think about that. Oh, don't. Off it goes. It says, the fowl come along, but he describes that as the enemy who snatches it away. So the first heart here is the hardened heart. Now the second one, verse 20 and 21, is the shallow heart. Let's read it. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Sounds good at first. Right? Oh man, look at this. They've received it. They're excited. They have joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This one now speaks about the seed. We understand the idea. It's seed in this case that has found a place where there is some earth, but it's just a little layer. Underneath, it is just rock. Underneath. In Israel, not hard to find rocks in Israel. The old saying is, what was it? God gave two angels the job of distributing rocks. One was good about it and he went everywhere. The other one said, I don't want to go anywhere. I dumped them all right there in Israel. Because you go to Israel and there's no shortage of rocks. Well, they would understand this. But the point is, there's this rock and underneath and on top a little bit of earth, so the seed gets on it. Well, because the rock gives off heat that is held from the sun all day, the seed germinates quickly, quicker than the seeds in the good soil. And oh, they spring up. Oh, look at that crop. Look how great. Until what? Until the sun comes up and scorches it, it says. And so, it's a type here. It's a type of that person who receives but doesn't develop any roots. They don't have any kind of a deep relationship with Jesus. In verse 5, he used the example. He says they have no depth of earth. Their roots aren't down deep. In this case, you're not down deep in the Lord. There's no prayer life. There's no time with him. There's just no growing deep in him. And what happens? It says the sun comes along and scorches them. And what's it a type of? Now he explains. That means it's the sun of tribulation, if you will, that burning sun of persecution for the word's sake comes along. And because they don't have roots, the sun reveals the lack of roots. And they get stumbled. And it says they get scorched by it all. We don't know how this person got in this place. Perhaps they are someone who heard a feel-good gospel. They went somewhere and heard someone say, oh, receive Jesus and everything will go wonderful. It'll be a rose-strewn pathway and you'll never have a trial. Oh, never have a cloud in the sky. Everything will be wonderful. Perhaps they went forward at a crusade because everybody else was doing it and their friends were doing it and they didn't want to feel weird not doing it and it looks like fun. I think I'll go forward. But it wasn't of the heart. Whatever it is, however they got that way, the Lord says, the problem here is you don't have any depth. You don't have any root system. See, trials simply reveal the root system. Interesting. The same sun that will take a plant that has good foundation to grow healthy will scorch and burn the one that doesn't have any roots. Oh, how important it is to get our roots down deep in Him. And trials will reveal where our roots are at. It says here that this one endures for a while. See, they had this emotional response. They're all excited about it. And it says for a while they do okay. How long is a while? I don't know. For some, only a short while. For some, it may be years. Going along, living on emotions, things are okay. But the sun of persecution, the sun of trials will come up. And I doubt if it will be years for most of us. But sure enough, they do come along. And our roots, the depth of our roots, will determine whether the sun scorches us or not. What do your trials reveal about your roots? Verse 22, we meet the third kind of soil. We call it the crowded heart. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. No one here can fit in there, I'm sure, right? You never get worried about the cares of this world, do you? It can be troubling. It can be hard, can't it? Because these are the very things we do tend to face. And indeed, probably the majority of Christians, people in the church, would fall right here often. Because this is a hard one. Especially in our affluent culture. For it says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, that they choke God's work in our lives. Oh, how cares and riches can do that. And it says, and this one becomes unfruitful. Maybe they were fruitful once, but they've become unfruitful because they let the cares get in the driver's seat. They let the riches get in the driver's seat and become unfruitful. Think of how the cares of this life can choke out God's word. It's not hard to start worrying about health issues and financial issues and relationship issues, and down we go. And certainly, it's not hard to see how much riches can rip off God's work in our life. Think of those who've been pulled aside, fallen by the wayside because they've bought into these things. Now, and did you notice that? And the deceitfulness of riches. Riches lie. They are deceitful. Riches, this world will tell you that you need those things to be happy, to be secure, to find meaning and purpose in life and peace and joy. You need things. This afternoon, if you should happen to watch the football game later, the football game is just there to kind of be padding between the commercials. Right? I mean, it's a big deal. They talk about it so much. I hear they're spending something like 3 point something million, pushing 4 million, I heard. 3 point something million for 30 seconds of advertising. Why? To convince you that you need that. You want that. If you own that, drive that, wear that, eat that, you'll have arrived. You need that thing. That's where peace is found. That's where purpose is found. It's a lie. Deceitfulness of riches. They choke out God's work. Before we start depending on things and looking to people, and it gets in the way of God's work in our lives. But then the fruitful heart, the good ground. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What is the good ground? He says, is he who hears the word and understands it. And understand means to consider it, to ponder it, to seek the Holy Spirit's help in applying it. It's a heart hunger for God and His word. Now, I recognize that your being here well, I can't say some of you might be here this morning having been lovingly drug along by your ears. But I hope most of you this morning are here because you wanted to be. And so you could very rightly say, Pastor Dale, you're preaching to the choir. We are hungry for the word. Awesome. And I want it to apply to my life. Great. Keep it up. Great. All for it. But we must be brutally honest with ourselves. You see, we all want to say, oh, there I am. Finally got to me. I'm good soil, Lord. That's me. Well, you receive the Lord. If it's a salvation text, awesome. You receive the Lord. If you haven't, then you're one of those first three. But it's not just for that. For certainly we see that Christians sometimes bounce back and forth. You're doing good, but then all of a sudden, cares got in. Riches, deceitfulness got in. A hard heart got developed in some area of your life. And it cut out, it choked out God's fruitfulness that was once there or wants to be there. Wants to be there more. Most of us would place ourselves in the fourth kind of soil. Awesome. But see, here's an interesting thing. What does he say the evidence of that is? Fruitfulness. No, don't make it about fruitfulness, Pastor. Make it about good intentions. Make it about that I'm basically a nice person. That shows I'm the fourth kind of soil because I haven't killed anybody all week. So I'm certainly a good kind of soil. He says, no, you'll know them by their fruit. Healthy plants bear fruit. They just do. And so he turns it to that. Oh, he recognized some have more fruit than the others. But you're going to have something in life. When he's really in there, there'll be a difference. And when he's really in there, though, do we let him have his full work? Do we let the word have full work? Do we let things choke us out and get in the way? Are we getting ripped off, duped by this world, by the stuff around us? What kind of soil does God really find when he comes to our hearts? What kind of soil is he finding right now? Don't pray it out loud, but pray it in your heart. Lord, you love me. You sent your son for me. Not the best. So show me. Show me what effect your word has upon me. Maybe you hear a message. Maybe you're here last week. And maybe something touched you last week. Remember we had the IMs and the URs and all the good stuff. Did it have any impact throughout the week? If it did, awesome. But if not, let the Lord say, Lord, what kind of ground did that all find on my heart, Lord? Got me excited and how that was good stuff, but did it change me and did I bear fruit for you from it? Can't you just see him in the boat looking out across all the people? Can't you see him looking out across us? Saying, what you really need, what you really want, what your heart longs for, only me and my word can do. Let me do that 24/7. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what if you're in one of those first three kinds of soils of the heart, conditions of heart? You want the fourth kind. You want the kind with good soil. You want it every day. Good, because that's what God wants. That's the Holy Spirit nudging you. Well, how does that happen? How do you get that kind of soil? First of all, it's got to be broken up. Hosea, of one of the many scriptures. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. And then the focus verse in this case is, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. He wants to work this work. But he says, what's my part? Break up the fallow ground. Resist. Don't buy into. Don't go any longer with the condition of heart that's less than being the good soil. Well, how does that occur? What do I do with all that? Well, again, we could go different ways here. But David said it. David was confronted with his sin. And he cried out. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. What do you hear here? A man that is thirsty and hungry and crying out, God, change my heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do what only you can do, Lord, but may you find me open and available and willing to let you do that. See, broken up soil is fertile soil. So, Lord, if you got to start there with me, start there. Break it up. Break me loose of that viewpoint I have, whatever I've been doing. And then he goes on, further on, David says, for you do not speak, he's speaking to the Lord, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. If I go do something, earn this, but it's not about that. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So we've got to come and say that we recognize, Lord, I've gotten hardened, I've gotten distant, I've gotten shallow, I've gotten distracted, I've gotten duped, I've been deceived, whatever. God, break it up. Start afresh there. Because, Lord, you don't want me to do works or something. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not despise. The good news this morning is this. The Holy Spirit is in the business of breaking up hearts, of preparing us to receive what he'd have for us. If we will just humble ourselves, let him, ask him to break up the condition of our hearts. Do you sit here right now with arms folded in your heart? Do you sit here right now, just, you can't, you don't, maybe not doing it physically, but inside, resisting? You do not win by resisting. We do not win by staying hold of hearts that are one of those first three categories. Let him break up your heart, because it's what we need. We need him to find root down deep. Now, it's not always fun to go through those times of God prepping our hearts, breaking our hearts, making them soft and open to him. But you know what? Most, if not all, of those who really have a strong walk with the Lord, really cooking in the Lord, have had times of breaking. Almost anybody who has any walk with the Lord will go through times of breaking, because that's how this whole thing works. That's how he does help us be prepared. That's how he gets us out of us and everything else. There have to be those times of God taking the Holy Spirit, the plow of the Holy Spirit, and turning up the soil of our lives. And he uses conditions and circumstances to do that, whether it's to receive the Lord first or just to allow his ongoing work. I want us to see there's all this application this morning. I was born and raised in Southern California, but my father came from Nebraska. Farm, born and raised on the farm, went into World War II, stayed in California after the war. I came along. But because he's from Nebraska, we would go back and visit my grandmother and uncles and aunts and all back there in Nebraska. Typical little town, little farm outside a little town. Farming community, they were a working farm, not the big agricultural combines of today, but it was just a working farm. And as a young boy, loved to visit it. So different than here. Every kid should spend some time on a farm. Well, maybe not, but it's a good idea. I mean, there was so much about it, and you have to allow me a little bit of personal reflection, but it just makes me think about this whole thing. The hours they kept, the work they put in, all those things. They had the chickens and the cows and everything else. But what did... Now, they're in Nebraska now. Now, what did he have? Fields of... And they had two or three big fields. Now, what were they? Fields of what? All you Nebraska fans, what are they called? The Cornhuskers! Corn everywhere. And they had their fields of corn. And as a kid, I'd love it. What particularly did I love about it? That old John Deere tractor. Now, I'm not... I know there might be more powerful, and everybody's got their favorites. Kind of like cars, like a Ford or Chevy. Back there, they had their tractor debates. But I love that old yellow and green John Deere tractor. And I can still hear it. And I'm old. But I chook, get out there. And my uncle would get out there, and he'd go up and down. He'd let me ride along with him, or he'd take me out on rides with it, let me pretend I was steering. But why? Why get up so early and work all day out there? Come in and have some lunch, go back out. There, it's dinner. But Why all those things? And then go back out and work and work and work. Why not just go, you know, the field will grow on its own. I never saw him, never heard about my uncle taking like a month off. Because ground takes work. You got to break up that soil if it's going to receive the seed. Then you got to keep it broken up to receive the feeding and the water and all that it needs to. And you get out there and just work it and work it and work it. Same for us. It takes work, so to speak. Not the kind of work like working for it in that way, but it takes, well, it means every day when we get out of bed and put our feet on the floor saying, Lord, help my heart. Help the soil of my heart be open to you, receiving of you. Cause your word to go deep in my life. Let me have deep roots in you. They worked 24/7. Well, they did sleep, but they worked a lot keeping the ground ready and getting it prepared and keeping it prepared so it would be healthy crop. I want a healthy crop. Holy Spirit, work 24/7 in me. Keep me broken up and open and receiving and hungry and thirsty. Because that's the kind of soil he wants to find, that his word will find. And that means obedience to it, responsiveness to it, awareness of it, time with him about it, all those important things. Because what's the outcome? The seed that gets deep into the ground, it becomes fruitful. Healthy trees have healthy fruit. Fruit reveals the root. Nothing else, maybe someone will remember that. Fruit reveals the root. How's your life, fruitful-wise? John 15, it tells us much the same thing. Remember Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It's just Jesus saying the same thing, basically. As we abide in Jesus, meaning get our roots down deep in him, then we bear fruit, much fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, there's the fruit of the Spirit, the real love and joy and peace that we need, that we hunger for. The fruit of others coming to know Jesus, this 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. The fruit of a Christ-like life, that which we really want, that which we're not going to find in these riches and cares and these other things out there. It's in him. And so you can see him looking out across the people there by the lake, and looking down through time at us, and saying, there's only four kinds, he says, four kinds of people in this regard. And he names the first three: hardened, shallow, distracted, or good. That fourth one. What kind of soil, what kind of heart does Jesus find in us? That's our focus this morning. So we must honestly consider, what type of soil are we? What does our life out there show us about what kind of soil we are? May he make us and keep us as that fourth kind. Ask, Lord, what's the condition of my heart? Based on the fruit of my life, what's the condition of my heart? The fruit reveals the root. So the question becomes, how's your fruit? Invite the worship team up to wrap us up. As they do, I want to extend an invitation. Have you never received Christ as Savior? The first application here is that you've been in the place of a hardened heart. Maybe you've been in the place of just shallow. You thought you received him, but really you look now, it was just all emotions. It wasn't really heart surrender. Maybe you're someone who, again, the cares and all got in the way. You've been more worried about the horizontal than the vertical. As we wrap it up, go to the prayer room and receive Christ as Savior. And let his gospel find root in your life. But believer, it doesn't stop there. For we know we can drift into these things. We can struggle with these things. Have you been getting ripped off by cares of the world? Have the deceitfulness of riches been choking out what he wants to do? Has it been initially a shallow relationship and lately persecution? The sun of persecution or trials have been scorching you? Good news. Cry out like David. Just say, God, break me up, prepare me, help me have a heart like only you can give. This morning, don't leave here settling for one of those first three conditions of soil. Get prayer on it, act on it, Ask God to give you the good soil kind of heart. Every day. And then, as you go out of here, bear fruit for Him. Be fruit bearers, all to His glory. Let's stand. You've been good Bible students. May the Lord truly, truly bring all this to fruit in our lives. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May He make you fruitful, all to His glory. Heavenly Father, for this way that you work, for the love that you have, for how gracious and merciful you are, we thank you. And we confess, Lord, we can be distracted. We can, well, you know us. Lord, move us into, keep us in that place of openness, good soil, receiving of your word going down deep in our lives. Lord, help us every day. Your great focus, the condition of these hearts. Work that work in us, Lord, and then through us, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.